You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM
W245CT
Hayward.
The gunman in this weekend's Jacksonville mass shooting name says Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters.
The Office of the Medical Examiner has positively identified the shooter as Ryan Christopher Palmetter. The shooter was 21 years of age when he committed yesterday's atrocities.
Killing three black people at a Dollar General store Saturday before shooting himself. The FBI investigating it as a hate crime. Tropical storm Idalia currently off Cozumel, forecast to strengthen and head toward Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis in Tallahassee saying that landfalls expected in the Big Bend region on Wednesday could arrive in the state of Florida as a strong Category 2 hurricane. At least three Marines reported killed during joint military exercises in Australia. 20 others were severely injured when their Osprey aircraft went down on Melville Island near Darwin. And El Segundo just won the Little League World Series. They were playing Curacao. Final score, 6-5. This is ABC News. Thousands gathered at the Lincoln Memorial Saturday to mark 60 years since the March on Washington and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. ABC's Faith Abube has more from Washington.
Thousands back at the nation's capital this weekend to remember a defining moment that inspired change. From civil rights icons like Andrew Young, who marched alongside Dr. King, to King's own 15-year-old granddaughter, Yolanda.
If I could speak to my grandfather today, I would say, I am sorry we still have to be here to rededicate ourselves to finishing your work.
Marchers citing voter suppression, reproductive rights, and the end of affirmative action for bringing them here.
Lawyers for Evan Gershkovich have appealed his detention in Russia after a Moscow court this week again extended it. The American Wall Street Journal reporter has been in a pretrial jail since March on false espionage charges. And the U.S. says Russia fabricated in order to take him hostage. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A tax evasion case in Wisconsin is shining a light on the ongoing exploitation of marginalized construction workers. More from Mike Mohn.
Gustavo Reyes was sentenced to 18 months in prison after pleading guilty to tax evasion charges. The Department of Justice says Reyes has more than $500,000 in unpaid taxes. Rob Kale of the Construction Business Group says it goes beyond hiding income from the IRS. Reyes was considered a labor broker who served as a middleman between larger project contractors and those hired to work on sites. Kell notes that Reyes's actions align with bad actors in the industry.
In the facts of this case, what they do is they'll just create multiple LLCs to keep evading tax collection. They will label every single person working for them who clearly are their employees, but they'll label them all as independent contractors.
He says workers become exploited in the process because they're paid in cash and are excluded from full wages and benefits, and many are migrant workers fearful of speaking up. Unions say payroll fraud convictions for the trades are rare in Wisconsin. Kale acknowledges not all agencies have investigative resources, but he hopes the sentencing creates more awareness. Bert Johnson of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters says the outcome should serve as a wake-up call to the industry as well.
The people at the very top making decisions about how the workers are going to be treated on their projects, those are the people who need to pay attention to this case.
Cal says it's not just the workers who suffer. He says firms that follow the rules are outbid for projects, while also noting that taxpayers eventually feel the pain. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's Thursday. I think that makes it Friday Eve up in here. How you doing, little buddy?
I am in a great mood today, Crudy. How you doing? Great to see you, Luke. Working hard on the board, our fair audience. Happy third Trump arraignment day. I mean, these arraignments, man, it's not even a big deal anymore, man. It's like the third time in how many weeks?
I don't know, what, a month? It's not even his last arraignment day, Dom. You know, he's going to have another one in Georgia imminently.
Imminently.
I hear there's a joke there somewhere.
We'll worry about it later.
So we're calling this Trump Arraignment Day 3.0. And you can always be a part of this show, Dom. You and the audience. 844-967-2789. My understanding, we got some Brewers tickets, 4 to give away for this Sunday. It's a get better series against the Pirates. They're in town against our beloved Brewers. And we got 4 tickets. Same number of charges Donald Trump went and pled not guilty to in a D.C. courtroom today, Dom.
One Brewers ticket against the Pirates on Sunday to match each count of the Trump indictment. Fantastic. I got a little news here, Crudy, on the Washington Post reporting Trump pleaded not guilty. Damn it. I thought he was going to do the code red. Did you order the code red, Crudy?
GD Wright, I ordered it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That not guilty to charges. He conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election, appearing in a federal courthouse that sits just blocks away from where his angry supporters, rioters, seditionists, stormed the Capitol building in an effort to keep him in power. God, that sounds like a really bad thing. As to counts 1 to 4, how does Mr. Trump plead? The judge asked Trump as he stood at the defense table flanked by his lawyers. Trump raised
strongly
his hand
not guilty
and said not guilty. The judge then reminded Trump that while he would be released, there are conditions with that release that must be obeyed, including that he must not violate any laws. Good luck with that. Must appear in court when required. Must not communicate with anyone known to be a witness in the case unless it is through an attorney. He is next subject to appear on August 28th at 10 a.m. before U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan.
Now, my understanding is Donald Trump was threatening Special Counselor Jack Smith's wife, you know, earlier today. if this federal judge means business and any other defendant, right? would already be remanded over. If they were considered a threat to witnesses, they wouldn't be out walking the streets. If you threaten the prosecutor's wife, how would that look for just a plain old fella? Joe Sixpack Tom. Would he be, you know, limousining off from his arraignment, his four not guilty pleas?
Not a direct threat per se. You have to infer the threat, Crudy. You have to infer the threat. What do you say? Something I got this here, the Ross story, Trump, Jack Smith. Jack Smith's wife is a Biden daughter and produced a fawning Michelle Obama documentary. Oh, that's what Liz Harrington said. What else did he say? Here's what Trump said. In a section of the statement, he went on to smear Smith for being a dirty, politically motivated investigation. He had put some news articles intended to undermine this special prosecutor. One section of the statement was titled Jack Smith's wife, Katie Shavinji, is a Biden donor. She produced a documentary about Michelle Obama. She has worked as an anti-Citizens United film titled Dark Money. Oh, apparently she's against Citizens United? That makes her a bad person in Trump's view.
But yes,
the former president of the United States throwing out the name, first and last name of the prosecutor. Yeah, you could imply some threat there without a doubt.
Well, Dominic, let's look a little closer to home. There are some headlines. There was what Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, hosted the Morning Cannolis, our fine guest yesterday. What'd he tell us? There was a Wisconsin page in the 45-page indictment of Donald
20,
J. Trump.
Baby.
And here's the headline. Molly back over at the Journal Sentinel. Here are the ways that Ron Johnson, others with Wisconsin ties, appear in the Trump January 6th indictment. Well, Ron, you got a little famouser. You made it into Trump's indictment. Dominic, the plot alleged by federal investigators to ignore the results of the 2020 presidential election and keep Donald Trump in power hinged on slates of Republicans in battleground states like Wisconsin, claiming to be electors for Trump. But the indictment of Trump also includes a cast of other characters, unsavory characters, I'd say, Dom, with Wisconsin ties, involved in the events leading up to the January 6, 2021 attack at the U.S. Capitol. And among them are Wisconsin senior U.S. Senator, a former Dane County judge, and an attorney who flew to Wisconsin just last year in an attempt to persuade Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Again, that was in 2022 that John Eastman came. So, Dom, here's a list of people who appear in Trump's indictment with Wisconsin ties. Hometown boys like Osh Vegas' own and former friend of the devil's advocates, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Now, Dom, paragraph 101 of the indictment outlines U.S. Ron Johnson's involvement in a failed attempt to hand slates of false electors to the Vice President Mike Pence on January 6th, about 20 minutes before a joint session of Congress was set to convene, you know, to certify the Biden victory that day. Johnson's chief of staff, Sean Riley, told a staffer for Pence that Johnson wanted to hand deliver to Pence votes from Republicans in Wisconsin and Michigan who posed as fake presidential electors for Trump. Want to hand deliver them. Let me be the vessel of malfeasance.
In simpler terms, you know, my recollection, you call someone doing something like that the bag man, just for the record.
Well, I'll just finish the quote here. Johnson needs to hand something to Vice President. Please advise, Riley texted Penn staffer Chris Hodgkin at 12:37 p.m. that day. According to evidence presented Tuesday by the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol. What is it? Hodgson, a former legislative affairs director for Pence, replied, "Why, it's an alternative slate of electors for Michigan and Wisconsin because the archivist didn't receive them," Riley wrote back. Hodgson told Riley, "Do not give that to him."
Gruddy, a quote, on the morning of January 6th, an agent of the defendant, Trump, contacted a United States senator to ask him to hand deliver documents to the vice president. The agent then facilitated the receipt by the senator's staff of the fraudulent certificates signed by the defendant's fraudulent electors in Michigan and Wisconsin, which were believed not to have been delivered to the vice president or archivist by mail, the indictment reads, noting that Pence's staffer rejected the documents. Johnson has downplayed the exchange as a staff-to-staff conversation and has said his involvement lasted just seconds. My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds, he told WISN-TV's Matt Smith in August of 22. I think I fielded three texts and sent two and talked to my chief of staff that somebody wants you to deliver something. Deliver something. I don't know what it is. It sounds like Trump waving around the Iran attack plans when he was asked about it. That wasn't paper. There were lots of papers and clippings and things. And you know, it's a circular blah, blah, blah. Back to Molly Beck's reporting. Johnson initially claimed to be basically unaware. Basically unaware. You could just have that on your license plate, sir. Of an effort by his staff to get the fake presidential elector documents to Pence, and later said he coordinated with Jim Troupis, a former Dane County judge and Trump campaign attorney, to pass along such information, and alleged a Pennsylvania congressman brought the slates of fake electors to his office, a claim that was immediately disputed. There's a lot of unanswered questions, I think, still here, Crudy. Johnson also initially told reporters he did not know where the documents came from and that his staff sought to forward it to Pence.
Do you know what Mrs. Johnson's nickname is for the senator? She calls him Speedy.
Pretty. John Eastman also mentioned here. Co-conspirator number two in the indictment is John Eastman, attorney who designed the strategy to leverage a vice presidential ceremonial role overseeing the certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election, according to the indictment. Eastman also traveled to Wisconsin in 2022 to meet with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in an ultimately unsuccessful attempt to persuade Voss to take action to overturn the 2020 result, which was impossible and illegal.
But consider the fact that Robin Voss still took that meeting. You know what I mean? If somebody came to pitch me on the concept of overturning a presidential election from 2 years ago, something that you've been legally advised a couple of times subsequently, might be illegal, might be impossible.
But you still take the meeting. Jefferson Davis, a former village president of Menominee Falls who launched an effort to persuade lawmakers to undo the 2020 election, said this during a March 22 meeting at the state capitol with Eastman. This man tried to save our country single-handedly on January 5th and 6th when he advised the administration, who was still the president of the United States, that they didn't have to do what happened on January 6th. Eastman was key to a movement in Wisconsin to decertify the election, support for which has waned since. Really? In December 21, Eastman wrote an 8-page memo for former state rep Tim Ramjam.
Oh, your guy!
Who ran for governor on the platform of decertification. The memo concluded the election results could be considered void if voting laws were broken. A number of conservative attorneys and a host of legal scholars reached the opposite conclusion, saying there's no way to reverse an election that had been held a year and a half prior.
But Tom, that didn't stop more than three dozen county Republican Party chapters in Wisconsin from passing resolutions calling for the decertification of the 2020 election.
Wow.
Hey, folks, it's Arraignment Day 3.0 for Donald Trump. Arraignment Day 4.0, I hear it might be imminent.
Imminent.
We'll be right back. Come back with us.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest. With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth Buns and Rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
We're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your call is always welcome here at 844-967-2789, or just download the Civic Media app and click on the call button or the text button. It's really simple that way. Crudy, going over the Molly Beck article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here are the ways Ron Johnson and others with Wisconsin ties appear in the January 6th indictment. We already talked about the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, and we also spoke about John Eastman. I'll take the next one, Crudy. Kenneth Chesbro.
Don't be a cheese bro.
Come on, cheese bro. The man listed as conspirator, co-conspirator 5, is an attorney who described himself as a Wisconsin native on his LinkedIn page.
We don't want him.
And accused of assisting in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Ooh, you're an attorney, cheese bro. You should have known better. He sent a memo. All these guys writing memos. He sent a memo on November 18th in 2020 to Troopis, who we'll talk about next, the Wisconsin attorney hired by Trump's campaign to oversee recounts in the state. In that memo, he drafted a plan to establish Republican electors in Wisconsin and other states contested by the Trump campaign. Cheese Bro told Troopis on January 6th of 21 that the real deadline to resolve the Wisconsin presidential contest was January 6th, not December 8th, the safe harbor deadline under the Electoral Count Act that Wisconsin missed, or the December 14th date when electors met in the Wisconsin state capitol to confirm Joe Biden's victory. Quote, assuming the electors pledged to Trump and Pence end up meeting at the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th to cast their votes and then send their votes to the president of the Senate in time to be open on January 6th, a court decision or perhaps a state legislative determination rendered after December 14th in favor of the Trump-Pence slate of electors should be considered timely, Cheesebro wrote. And apparently that kind of action is what? Implementing a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Obstruction. How very Trumpian of you, cheese bro.
Don't be a cheese bro. Dom, I have mentioned often on this program, if there is one malfeasant Republican legal name you should know, it's Jim Troopis. We should all
Who's
know.
Jim
who,
Troopis?
Yeah, who is Jim Troopis? Well, he looks a little like Lord Palpatine from the Star Wars movies. Not a handsome man, not to my opinion.
But that's like pre-Sith burning.
Could go either way.
Come on, man.
Tom, while not explicitly discussed in the indictment, although here on The Devil's Advocates, he's been explicitly discussed many times, the former Dane County judge and Trump campaign attorney, talking about the Troopis, was one of the first to receive the memo from Cheesebro, that outlined the fake elector strategy that is central to the indictment. The memo to Troopas came from Cheeseborough with the subject line, "The real deadline for settling a state's electoral vote." It outlined Cheeseborough's legal analysis backing up his suggestion during a conference call with Troopas that, in any judicial review of the canvassing recounting in Wisconsin, we should emphasize that the presidential election timetable affords ample time for judicial proceedings, even if initial errors in the recount require a remand for further recounting. Troopas received the memo the same day he filed paperwork on behalf of the Trump campaign to begin ballot recounts in the liberal-leaning and populist state in Milwaukee counties. And you know who handled the recount in Milwaukee County, Dom? Why, it was Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel and host of the Maggie Dawn Show, our own hero, Maggie Dawn.
We love Maggie Dawn.
Some of the greatest work in this state to protect democracy was done by Maggie right. Dawn. You don't even know, folks. You don't know the half of it, because Troopas, on behalf of Trump, was trying to throw out 200,000 ballots. The memo to Troopas was used by Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, who's named as co-conspirator number one in the indictment.
Number one, baby.
And others to develop a strategy to exploit ambiguities in the Electoral Count Act. And during the recounts of Dana, Milwaukee County, Troopas sought to throw out tens of thousands of absentee ballots that were cast in person, an argument that included tossing his own ballot and his wife's.
Troopas, I will martyr myself for the cause.
And certainly my wife. Troopas and his wife voted early using the state's in-person absentee option, one of the group of voters whose ballots the Trump campaign unsuccessfully asked election officials to deem illegal. I voted illegally. Please throw up my ballot along with like 200,000 others. Now, Dominic, Troopas also contacted U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to get Pence a document on January 6th. Troopas described as regarding Wisconsin electors.
He skipped that fraudulent description.
Johnson said Troopas contacted him by text message and then introduced the attorney to his chief of staff also by text message to handle the request. He said he did not know what the document was or intended to accomplish. Oh, come
and
on,
subsequent
Ron.
Subsequent to that BS, didn't Ron Johnson hire Jim Troopas?
Yeah, just in case there was a recount in the U.S. Senate race in 2022. Or,
wasn't a recount? There wasn't a recount,
there
right?
was no. not a necessary recount because, of course, Johnson won here in the state of Wisconsin. Dom,
so I wonder if you got that 15 or 20 grand retainer back. I just wonder how all that worked.
Well, that was sort of pre-grease in the wheels, Dom. When you give a retainer, they get to retain it and keep it, future work performed.
Yes.
Just perceive yourself to be on retainer here at this radio show, Dom. Yeah. We'll gladly pay you next Tuesday for work you performed today. You're on retainer fella.
I'd rather hold on to your, how's it go? Forget it. The retainer. I'm not going to give you the retainer back, Curtis. That's not happening.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, listing right here on WMDX in Madison, WAUK in the Shaw, all across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Come back with us. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
B.S. I hate you. I got just one last thing to say. B.S. I hate you. B.S. I hate you. B.S.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The gunman in this weekend's Jacksonville mass shooting name says Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters.
The Office of the Medical Examiner has positively identified the shooter as Ryan Christopher Palmetter. The shooter was 21 years of age when he committed yesterday's atrocities.
Killing three black people at a Dollar General store Saturday before shooting himself. The FBI investigating it as a hate crime. Tropical storm Idalia currently off Cozumel, forecast to strengthen and head toward Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis in Tallahassee saying that landfalls expected in the Big Bend region on Wednesday could arrive in the state of Florida as a strong Category 2 hurricane. At least three Marines reported killed during joint military exercises in Australia. 20 others were severely injured when their Osprey aircraft went down on Melville Island near Darwin. And El Segundo just won the Little League World Series. They were playing Curacao. Final score, 6-5. This is ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve. Early grievances, phone calls, you know, they're welcome here. 844-967-2789. And you can also text us the shiny new Civic Media app. Dom, here are a few of the early texts during the course of this program so far. One from the 414. Oh, that's Jeff from Shorewood. Starting to become a constant troll now, Jeff. So Crudy, the views. Crudy, the views expressed in the show do not reflect the views of station management. Aren't you head management? Well, no, not head management. I'm somewhere in the food chain, but I would point out, Dom speaks often, and certainly he does not reflect the views of any of the management team here. What else we got? There was one other than some Beatles lyrics that was sent our way. Here's one. It's not cheese bro, it's ches bro. Put another way, the E, ease, is like dessert, not desert. And then it goes on to say, making fun of someone's name is not in line with the civic media mission statement. Making fun of an incorrect pronunciation is grade school bullying. That's kind of my thing around here. I don't know if you know this. I'm really bad with names. I'm not so much mispronouncing it on purpose. It's just bad at this. This is not my skill set.
No, I'm mispronouncing it on purpose because it's Wisconsin. It's cheese and it's cheese bro. And
we cheese bro. Like, bro.
Come on, cheese bro. So yeah, it's cheese bro.
Who in the world said it's not part of the civic media mission?
Let's put this in context, if we may. If we may put it in context, this guy was part of a conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy to overthrow the United States government. Right? He wanted to cancel out my vote and your vote, Texter. So if the worst thing I do is mispronounce purposefully this D-bag's last name, cheese bro,
cheese bro,
so be it. Cheese bro. Come on, man. That's what you're upset about?
You know what I love? I love when people call and text and correct us on the air. That's my favorite thing. 844-967-2789. Now, Dom, I have occasionally accused you of a bad analogy or several. Yeah. I mean, because
you don't know why you would do that.
Well, I don't know why you're so bad at making analogies, Dom. You know, you're really, that's not your strong suit. You've got many, many strong suits. Being short, that's a strong suit of yours. Yeah. Many, many and strong sexy. Suits.
So sexy.
Oh, sexy. That's part of it. Oh, yeah. But analogies, not a strong suit. But I thought you were bad. And I have now seen the worst analogy ever. And Dom, I think we've got our first nominee for D-Bag of 2023. Why, it's the former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin, the wanker. Oh, did I mispronounce his name? I mean Walker. Scott Walker says, if Trump is culpable, so are Schumer and Sanders. What? Apparently he means for political violence. Like if Trump's charged, so should Bernie be? Let me read the worst analogy of all time from the former gubernator, Scotty Wanker of Wisconsin, argued Wednesday that if former President Trump is responsible for encouraging violence during the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, then so are Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat, and Senator Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, for other violent incidents. I don't understand his logic, but I seldom do. Wanker said in an interview with Julie Mason on her Sirius XM show that he expects the federal indictment of Trump for his attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential to have effects during the Republican primary and the general election of 2024. Really what he's doing out here, folks, he's trying to sell tickets to a debate. But I read on. A quote from the Wanker. I think there is a sense that when they feel like someone's being attacked, there's a sense of the family of circling around the person and trying to protect them. And I think that's a little bit of it here, he said, referring to Republican primary voters. You know, like circle the wagons with your assault weapons. People think, well, if these sort of things are worthy of indictment, why are they indicting Bernie Sanders for inciting violence against House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and the other Republicans at the baseball practice? Or Chuck Schumer for the things he said about Supreme Court justices, Walker continued. And then people ended up in violation of federal law in front of their house. Here's what I would say. That is the worst, worst freaking analogy I have ever heard in my entire life. You know that's disingenuous. Bernie Sanders never encouraged violence. Bernie Sanders never told his supporters to go march on the softball practice and, you know, come loaded for bear, stand back and stand by. We're going to see Steve Scalise. There's no implication in any of the words of Bernie Sanders ever that violence was an alternative or a remedy to any problem. I mean, hell, the guy's against the next war. And what'd Schumer say? You know, that there was delegitimization of the Supreme Court through the leaking of the ruling. I think it was the Dobbs ruling. You know, and people should pressure Supreme Court justices. Well, gosh darn it, Dom, some out stood out there on the street corner. And that's just the same as charging the mound at the U.S. Capitol, killing people, wiping feces on the freaking wall, and, you know, spraying the cops with the bear spray and stabbing them with the flag sticks. Just the same. All same, says Scott Walker. What a jacknut.
Pretty the Hill goes on to report Walker argued that if liberals focus on the past presidential election instead of the future, they're in trouble. I mean, isn't that exactly what your front runner is doing right now? And to your point, Crudy, he also called on Trump to participate in the first GOP primary debate later this month in Milwaukee.
The self-serving, as always, Walker trying to sell some tickets because he's getting overpaid, what, $800,000 a year, heading up the Young Adolphs Foundation. And they're the co-sponsors. So he's selling tickets here. And I mean, this is some damn pathetic stuff, wanker.
100%, Walker said. Conventional wisdom would suggest you're this far ahead, don't go. But he's not a conventional candidate. That's an understatement. He said Trump was a prize fighter who belongs in the ring defending his title. Trump signaled he might skip the debate, recently suggesting it would be a chance for his GOP rivals to compete for his running mate. He could abruptly, I think, put an end to any speculation that anybody is going to be the nominee. But on the flip side, if he doesn't come, obviously he'll find some way to at least garner some attention. But I do think he leaves the door open. Very articulate, that Scott Walker, along with his terrible analogies. Crudy, and I'm with you, man. I think this is, if not of all time, certainly the worst analogy I've heard this entire year.
844-967-2789. I am really literally starting to hate that guy. I mean, my kid and my wife are like, why do you care about Scott Walker? I'm like, I really wish he would just go away. He's a has-been who was a never was, right? Small town politician, backbencher in the state legislature, corrupted his way through the Milwaukee County Executive's office and caught an inside straight and became the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And then he went on the national stage and people saw what a real loser he was. Mr. 0.0 out before the Iowa caucuses. I mean, you're the Ron DeSantis before there was a Ron DeSantis. You make Ron DeSantis look good, Scott Walker. But to accuse these Democrats or a guy like Bernie Sanders of inspiring violence, if you're implying there's anything about Bernie that's anything like Donald Trump, I mean, so disingenuous. The guy.
Well,
just,
that's what they're down to. That's what they have to do. What do you think the Biden crime family is all about? I mean, that's exactly what it's about. It's this continual projection by Scott Walker and the mega Republicans accusing others of doing exactly what their guy and their crew have been doing. That is how it works. That's the gaslighting to the nth degree. And I'm just wondering, again, as I say, where is the BS meter? You know, I mean, either do you believe it or are you just going to continue to say these things and claim you hold this mindset and this philosophy for pursuit of greater and greater power? I mean, how does a guy who was underwater in his financial disclosure,
Scott Walker,
his presidential run, all of a sudden land an $800,000 a year job at the YAF.org, a couple of years after being, kicked out of office? What qualities did he bring to that, man? Are you kidding me? I'm really curious about who's funding that YAF. I'd love to see those donors, because I'm betting there's some of the same folks that benefited from Scott Walker's decisions here in the state of Wisconsin as governor. Just saying.
Why won't
it's
he
like,
just
I mean, come on, it's just like it's Jared. It's Jared Kushner on, you know, it did the same Scott Walker thing, but on steroids with the Saudis.
Nobody gave Scott Walker $2 billion to fund manage, not the Saudis or anybody else, because I don't know if you remember, Don, but when he ran for president, Scott Walker went through a litany of jobs he was not qualified to do.
He sure did.
And I think being a fund manager for the Saudis might be one of those jobs. So no one's actually entrusting him with their money.
Scott Walker has just as much experience in fund management as Jared Kushner does, man. He is just as right to get $2 billion from the Saudis as Kushner does. And based on the financial pressure Kushner was under with the 666 building he got from Qatar or wherever, the UAE perhaps, I got to wonder about his capabilities himself. I mean, if you weren't handed the checkbook, did you earn it? I don't know. Those things kind of matter. But what about Walker's history makes him qualified to be the head recruit leader, the youth inspirer of the conservative movement any more than Jared Kushner getting $2 billion from the Saudi sovereign fund to do what? Put in your pocket? Because you gave him Khashoggi and God knows what on the Iran docs? Hell, I mean, Trump was swinging around the Iran documents. Who knows where those things ended up?
You know what qualifies him? Matt and Alex. Yeah. And possibly also the love baby from college, but he never talks about her.
Oh, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Is that Scott K. Walker or Scott P. Walker? I keep forgetting that one.
Well, it's the one who fathered the child at Marquette University, according to the woman who was in the delivery room, the best friend of the impregnated college girlfriend of Scott Walker. But that was the Scott K. Walker or Scott P. Walker.
I forget which one.
The fact that Dan Walker? Bice let him off the hook so readily because he's like, well, some guy in four counties over also named Scott Walker had a divorce suit? Like, you've been mistaken for someone else's divorce? Like, I think that woman also knew who her husband was. The thought being is Scott Walker never acknowledged the paternity of a child he apparently fathered in college. And apparently, if you believe the now what, PhD doctorate from the University of Minnesota who made the accusations and still, last time we checked with her legal counsel, stands by these accusations against the aforementioned wanker. The parents also pressured the impregnated college girlfriend to have an abortion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how about that?
She did not. She apparently married another man, and that man raised the child, and Scott Walker was absolved of his youthful indiscretions. But you ever wonder why he dropped out of college and ran for the benefits at the, you know, the Red Cross? Why would a guy, you know, less than a semester away from graduation quit college and go work for the Red Cross?
To start a life of service to his community, Curdy.
What, to go run against Gwen Moore and get your ass handed to you in an electoral campaign? Because, you know, he was off to politics almost immediately. He eventually won. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. That's Scott Walker. Oh. Worst analogy ever. And I really don't like you. You know, I don't like anything about you. Come back. More Devils. Hopefully you still love us. 844-96-PARTY.
You.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum.
So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we mentioned briefly, but there's more coverage here. Gerrymandering petition filed with Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm going to the Cap Times. Aaron McGrody on the reporting here, less than 24 hours after the official swearing in of Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, the high court is already seeing a challenge of the state's partisan election maps. Why'd it take them that long, Dom? Law Forward, a liberal-leaning nonprofit law firm based in Madison, joined other legal groups Wednesday in challenging district maps they say are gerrymandered and give Republicans an edge in state elections. That's a little beyond an edge. Here's what Jeff Mandel, a partner at Stafford Rosenbaum and board president of Law Forward, had to say in a statement. In the past 12 years, one political party captured the legislature and has insulated itself from being answerable to the voters. Despite the fact that our legislative branch is meant to be the most directly representative of the people, the gerrymandered maps have divided our communities, preventing fair representation. Again, still part of a quote. This has eroded confidence in our political system, suppressed competitive elections, skewed policy outcomes, and undermined democratic representation. Now, Dom, this move comes as little surprise. Law Forward told the Cap Times in April it planned to file suit over the maps as soon as Protasiewicz took her place on the bench and created a 4-3 liberal majority on the court. Protasiewicz, Dom, if you'll recall, during her campaign said she believed Wisconsin's legislative district maps were rigged, except she didn't use the Trump voice. The petition was filed directly with the state Supreme Court. Now, I would take issue with this, Dom. It's a little too soon for that. You need a district court. You cannot have a ruling if you haven't had a case yet. So I don't believe in original jurisdiction at the Wisconsin Supreme
Wasn't
Court.
Wasn't this already it's already adjudicated, though, wasn't it? I mean, it went up to the Supreme Court, and then they sent it back and yada, yada. So I don't know. I'd have to talk to some of our legal experts in this regard, but I don't think this is I don't want to speak.
This is
turn.
A newly filed lawsuit, right? Just dropped. Yes. Waited for Protasiewicz to join the court. So this is fresh litigation. So you can't say there's been a prior ruling on it. It just dropped. So this would not be the proper venue for original jurisdiction. You don't walk into the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court does not hear original jurisdiction testimony. They're not the court where you give the evidence and you put the information out there. The Supreme Court is for perhaps oral arguments, but it is not the place where you go to have a trial. Until there is a trial, it's not ripe for the Supreme Court. That is my opinion. That is not what they're asking. And we've seen the Republicans do the very same thing so many different times, ask that the court go grab up a case before it was quote unquote ripe, before it was ready for the Supreme Court, before there had been a ruling in a district court or the appellate court. Isn't that where you're supposed to start, Tom? I'm just saying, why would you change the process?
I know, but what I'm not sure about, and again, I'd like to get some of our experts on this, since a case like this, these gerrymandering cases have already gone up to the Supreme Court, right? And if the facts are established in these specific cases,
I'm not sure. A separate case. This is new litigation brought before the court. You don't go say, well, what about that other case we looked at 5 years ago? No, you look at the litigation being brought before the court. This is fresh stuff, man. You can't just say, well, last time we said what? Let's change that because we've changed the makeup of the court. That's not how it's supposed to work. Even when I wanted to, Dom, even when I want the liberal 4-3 block of the court to rule the way I want it to rule.
I think we're missing something. That's well,
apparently you are. The truth, the right answer.
If that would be the case, Crudy, then obviously the Supreme Court wouldn't take it up, right?
They may reject. They may say we aren't the proper point of jurisdiction yet because there's not a district court ruling. You could skip the appellate process. You could say there's enough gravity to this case. We're not going to wait for the appellate court to rule. But if there hasn't been a district court ruling, if no one's laid out the evidence, had a trial, there is nothing for the Supreme Court to rule upon. They don't hold trials at the Supreme Court. Do you understand that part of the concept? I'm not picking on you, Dom. I'm just saying.
No, I totally understand what you're talking about. I think there's something else that we're missing, as I mentioned. So you can keep on saying the same thing over and over again, but I certainly believe Maggie Dawn or James Santel over your opinion in this case. Although I do certainly appreciate the consistency.
I'll consistently smack you upside your head. You say it like that again. It's not my opinion.
Man.
It's the right answer.
How many times do you want me to say it, dude?
It's the right answer. It's not an opinion. There's only one
844-967-2789. Crudy, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to take the caller, but go ahead. Oh, yeah, tell me how wrong I am again.
Go ahead. Take the caller.
Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, I would just like to say that I think Law Forward and the attorneys with the other groups that they're working on probably know what they're doing. At least I would hope so.
Doesn't mean it's the right ruling. Cindy, you can ask. Doesn't mean that that's what the court should do. When the court was a 4-3 conservative court until very recently, think of all the times that the Wisconsin Supreme Court tried to grab up cases before they even made it to the district court level. And the complaint we always made is original jurisdiction. Like, you got to go have a trial, and then the Supreme Court can say, yes, it was a valid trial, or here are the problems with the law. But if you haven't established the facts of the case yet, it's not ready for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, see, I think they have with that whole Whitford thing and everything earlier. I think they have. And not to mention the fact that we're running out of time. We have an election in 2 years. It's going to take at least a good year or so to straighten this out. So the sooner they get working on this, as far as I'm concerned, the better.
Well, there's no doubt there is. Time is of the urgency. And my understanding is they have asked the court to rule on a very abbreviated schedule. They want a ruling by like next March. Because they have to set new maps in time, Cindy, to actually utilize these maps to run new districts next year. Here's the problem, though.
Yep.
Just because we want it to happen that quickly doesn't mean it will. And
because the Republicans are going to appeal it anyway.
Well, there would be no higher court of appeal, although perhaps the U.S. Supreme Court, you could run off to the federal courts if you didn't like the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I fully suspect they will, Cindy.
Yep.
But I don't know what you're running up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court with yet. You don't have a case yet.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see, Cindy.
We'll see. Thanks for the call, Cindy. Appreciate it. I'm kind of with Cindy on this
967-2789. I'm not saying Jeff Mandel and the boys and girls down at the Law Forward aren't smarter than yours truly. But I am a consistent guy, and I don't think that is the proper way it works. And we've had legal experts tell us this before. I just listen closer than some panelist.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media
News
app.
I'm Chuck.